It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hello there, Daniel.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
Really good. I've got you in studio once again to discuss this topic we hear a lot about in our culture. I think you've dealt with it a lot on this show before, and that is fear and anxiety. How do we deal with fear, anxiety, depression? Mainly the anxiety part, I think, is what you want to expound on this week.
Yeah, anxiety, depression. A lot of people see that as a continuum. I see it as a continuum. There's 85% comorbidity. Could be more by now. Because I've always believed that they were a continuum. And, I mean, 85% comorbidity is pretty high. When you see an 85%...
What do you mean by comorbidity?
They happen at the same time.
Okay, all right.
I mean, I think if some things were... just seems to me that it's high. I would think that if things had that high of a comorbidity, that they almost, you know, certainly belong together.
So somebody who's struggling with depression has also struggled with or started with fear and anxiety.
Then. Yeah, or you could say that 85% of the time when doctors are telling you you're depressed, they're implying that you're anxious or that you have anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
I know that when they're medicating depression, they tend to medicate depression and anxiety if they're medicating anxiety, they medicate depression and anxiety because the depression drives the anxiety. It could happen something like this. This is the way I explain it to myself and people. Depression is what happens if I don't deal with anxiety. Anxiety is concern or worry over, let's call it unfinished business. That it could be emotional pain. That could be unfinished business. We've talked in the past shows about deep emotional pain and things that have happened from childhood, other kinds of emotional pain. So those kinds of things could be unfinished business. Unfinished business could be really more practical things, you know, having to do with clutter around the house, you know, which a lot of times if we have a cluttered garage or a cluttered yard or a cluttered
house. That can cause depression?
It can cause depression, well, largely because it's a form of depression. It can be a form of depression.
Mm.
And it usually reflects the fact that there are other areas in my life that are also cluttered, and this is just a outward manifestation of an inward frustration.
Are people who have like a messy desk then or a messy house, are they always depressed?
I would say they're always anxious.
Really?
They have anxiety.
A sign of something.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Now, we're not all equally ordered
because some people
organized.
Who are super organized and super clean are obsessive compulsives too.
That's right. Yeah.
So that can be an opposite effect there.
Yeah, this gets to the idea that we all have fear and we all have shame and we handle it different ways, but you're right that just because a person is organized doesn't mean that they don't have they could be, you know, obsessive compulsive about being orderly. People who are, some people are, not all people are as organized. For example, in my household, we kind of do the Goofus and Gallant thing. Remember Goofus and Gallant from the highlights? Some of the older folks like myself will remember Goofus and Gallant from Highlight magazine. It was like kind of a small child's magazine.
Okay.
Well, of course, Goofus always did things wrong and Gallant always did things right. In this case, my wife would be Gallant and I would be Goofus.
Really?
Sometimes I can switch that up on her a bit. What we say, we do things like we say, Goofus always does such, but Gallant does such.
Okay.
And so Goofus doesn't close the garage door. Gallant always does. Those kinds of things. So Goofus at our house is not particularly organized.
I would think you'd be a very organized person.
Well, see.
Everything would be clean.
I am here. I've got my desktop. My wife says, you have a certain way of being ordered. Yeah. Okay, but her room is immaculate. We're not all equally organized. However, we can all work toward organization, and a person that's not organized can work toward organization and reduce anxiety. So
it does make you feel good if you've cleaned your room.
It does.
I remember that even from a young age. Mm-hmm. I felt so much better if I'd let my room go for a month. Finally got things cleaned up and I'd move the furniture maybe into a new position. Boy, I felt on top of the world.
We're kind of getting to the core of the our discussion here, because the way out of anxiety and depression is to pursue two things, one of which is accomplishment, and the other one is relationships. And that is because fear and shame, or anxiety and depression, are responses to fear and shame.
Mm-hmm.
And fear and shame comes from the lack of value, control, and power. So if you've heard the show a bunch of times, this is beginning to sound familiar. We all have fear. We all have shame. Fear has to do, well, of course, because we're all mortal, and that's where our fear and shame actually begins.
Mm-hmm.
We don't all deal with fear and shame the same way, but we all have fear and shame. And so the fear has to do with, again, mortality, and more specifically, the lack of value, or you could say it the other way, needed value, or needed control, or lack of control. And if you have a control freak in your family, or if you are the control freak, which oftentimes when someone claims there's a control freak in the room, I would want to ask them, you know, what's
is
wrong?
It you?
What's wrong with that? Yeah, or is it you? But somebody might say, you know, Charlie over there has always got to be in control, and I want to say, what's wrong with that? And of course, the answer would be, well, because I want to be in control. So usually there are two control freaks if there's one, or quite often. But, you know, lack of control. I don't want to control other people, but I don't want other people controlling me unless I volunteer, I relinquish control. Like at a four-way stop, we have to relinquish control or we'll go nuts. You know, you have to, everybody gets a turn. But I don't want to control other people. But what I do want to control is I want to control things that are occurring in life that have an impact on me. I would like to control the price of gasoline. I would like to control the four-way stop, but I can't. The price of gasoline. I would like to control the weather. There's things we can't control. And so that's where kind of the rub comes in. And so we get anxious about lack of control. And then the third one, so value, control, and the third one, I say power or resources. I would like all the resources that I need or that I desire. If there's a car part I want to get, I'd like the resources to get it. If there's a college I want to go to, I'd like the resources to go there. If there's a house you need to buy, if there's a medical emergency, you'd like to have the resources. If you don't have the resources for that, if you don't have the control over things in life that impact you, if you don't have value, you're losing your humanness. Those are things that make us feel human. Mm. Value, control, power. Mm. Now, that doesn't sound very Christian, but I would say that we get our sense of value, control, and power from our relationship with God. As Christians, ideally, we do that, although we don't live there, do we? Because most of my clients are Christians, and I talk to myself, too, and sometimes I'm in bad shape. So we don't live there, but that's where we aspire to live, in that place where, you know, yeah, God is my source. He's my, you know, he gives me value. I'm valued in him, and I'm valued in his kingdom, and I'm valued in his program and the body of Christ. And I don't have control, but he's
he
in
does
control.
Have control. I can trust
and
I, that.
And I don't have everything I'd like, but my resource, I have everything I need. He's my resource. So we even, that's where we, even our relationship with God is fundamentally a pursuit of that. The other thing is shame, and shame, of course, is an internalized message of lack of worth. John Bradshaw, in his works, he would say, shame is the emotion that reminds us we're mortal.
Mm.
And so shame and fear are very much related. So somebody says, I don't have fear, and I've got a sign in my pickup truck that'll tell you that.
No fear.
No fear.
Right.
But of course the fear is the reason that I put that sign there, to keep people away. So we all have fear. We all have shame. We're all dealing with it in different ways. Anxiety and depression are responses to fear and shame. And so when we're dealing with anxiety and depression, we're dealing with this fear and shame. And so you brought up just a bit ago, that whole idea of cleaning the room or, you know, getting the homework done or, you know, doing those little things. I've got things I got to do this afternoon, and I spent some time. I had a project. I made a promise to my daughter and son-in-law when they bought a house that was 105 years old, and I said, well, it had knob and tube wiring. And I said, oh, I'll rewire it for you. Take a couple months. So I think they've been there 4 years. And I was down there Monday and Tuesday trying to do a three-way switch. If you know what a three-way switch is, you know that if you're trying to rewire a three-way switch in a finished house without making any holes in the walls or ceilings, you're up against it. I mean, it's it was 2 days of trying to figure out how to do that without. I finally did have to lower a ceiling and knock some holes in the holes in a wall to get it finished. But yeah, I've got things that if you can get those things done, it takes care of some anxiety. If you don't, you're going to have depression. Depression is hopelessness, where anxiety is helplessness. Helplessness means I could get this done if I had some help, and I'm not getting help, and so somebody else is to blame for this because they're not helping me. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times anxiety is blaming other people.
Mm-hmm.
Looking for faults in other people, blaming other people.
It brings on a lot of anger, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would say, too, depression and anxiety are very akin. Some people even say forms of anger.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the anger is a response to fear and shame. Anxiety and depression are responses to fear and shame. So they're all in the same wheelhouse. I think I've referred to that as the emotional root ball.
Right.
Anger, depression, anxiety, fear, and shame. And the reason is because you can't really talk about one without implying.
All wrapped up there. That's quite a picture, an emotional root ball.
Yeah.
That sounds like some of the cords in my garage, speaking of the garage, power cords and different things, they can really get into a root ball. Even happened to me recently fly fishing, my line gall. Got all tangled up into a root ball.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking about kind of some general ideas, kind of a review of some things that Daniel talks about a lot. Value, control, and power, dealing with fear and shame, and fear and anxiety. They say that that's like the number one health issue now in America. Fear and anxiety, anxiety, depression is like the number one health issue. We'll explore that. Is that really true? Daniel's thoughts on that after we take a break here. If people are, though, struggling with some of these issues, they need some help, they need some perspective, how do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, the phone number is 425-778-6169. That's 425-778-6169. And people also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. Incidentally, you find this show as one of the podcasts. There's like close to 4 years there. And, of course, the other important website is ChristianCounselorsForum.com. ChristianCounselorsForum.com, where I have a number of articles there. They go back to year 2000. They're not all there, but they go back
a lot. Okay. Great stuff always. Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. We will return in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. You know, anxiety and depression contribute to every type of psychosis, behavioral problem, and even many health issues. Unchecked, they can ruin your life. But you don't have to let that happen. If you feel that you or someone that you know is struggling with anxiety and depression, call me and let me teach you the tools to build, manage, and maintain a more wholesome lifestyle. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Daniel discussing a real frequent topic here, fear and anxiety, depression, how to get through them. Are they real? What about medication? We're going to kind of touch on all that here. And I said just before the break, they're saying this is the number one health issue in America today, fear, anxiety, depression. Are they saying that just so they can sell more medications, though? You kind of think.
I don't think they're sad about it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's. I mean, depressive medications is a billion-dollar business, and we've talked about addictions at one time. Let me touch on something where we have changed the way we think about being mentally healthy. One of the articles that I posted not too long ago at ChristianCounselorsForum.com, ChristianCounselorsForum.com, The name of the article, it's in the archives. So if you go to the ChristianCounselorsForum.com, what you're going to see is an article on sex and marriage. But if you go to the archives off on the left-hand side, you'll find, you punch that, I think the very top article is going to be a brief history of depression. And it talks a lot about, it talks about the discovery of the medications for depression, actually the history of the diagnosis of depression a little bit, and then the medications for depression. So good resource there. But yeah, I think it is at the bottom of or in the background of all of the mental health disorders. And I think it's certainly the, you know, kind of the mother queen. I've kind of told people and believe, so is why I tell people, that whole thick book on mental disorders, Diagnostic Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, is really just 400 and some diagnoses, and they all have to do with anxiety and depression. That's at the root of all of this. And so, yeah, so they medicate depression and anxiety an awful lot, whether it's OCD, obsessive compulsivity, that's an anxiety thing, ADD, there's anxiety there, they're treating anxiety there, you know, anger outbursts, they're treating anxiety there, because, I mean, and on and on and on, even sexual dysfunctions, there's anxiety there. That's 9 times out of 10 or 9 point something times out of 10, sexual dysfunction is psychological,
absolutely,
not medical. And so that's a form of that's an anxiety depression. So it doesn't. No, I think that's absolutely true. That it's the number one. Well, you know, Scripture said that in the last days, men's hearts would fail them for fear, and boy, there's a lot of it.
24-hour news cycle.
Yeah, and even all this anger that we see in the political and just these youth movements and things, it's anger. And what is it? It's fear and shame, fear and shame, fear and shame. So,
yes. How do we deal with this in a godly way, not using drugs, mm-hmm. Not joining a gang, mm-hmm. but what's a biblical way of dealing with anxiety, fear, and depression?
Well, so, and this is going to sound like a Band-Aid, so we'll have to unpack it a bit, because it isn't. Our bodies were created in such a way, I like to think of creation and every aspect of the creation as an unfolding of God's nature. And, you know, in God's nature, there are no loose ends. There are no tangles like your fishing line, and there are no drop cords with the ends cut off, or right. there's no loose ends. Everything in God's nature makes perfect sense. It's all connected. Everything leads to something else, and it's all connected. It's integral. And so the way we work as human beings, that's integral too. If we're in proper alignment, the Word of God works just as it says it. Just as it says it does. So if it doesn't work, there's something haywire. Of course, we can find the answer to that too. But David, I heard someone speaking some time ago about, they were talking about how David was depressed, and thank God today we have medication for depression, and possibly if David had had medication, he wouldn't have written so many Psalms. They didn't say that, but that's kind of the conclusion of their thinking as far as I could see. But David wasn't depressed in the sense that we are depressed, because we have redefined depression as an illness. Mm. Okay. Now, I'm not saying, let's put it this way. Somebody's going to ask, well, do you think that nobody needs medication? No, I think that unfortunately a lot of people need medication, but I hope they can get off of the medication because there's a better way to live. We need medication because we've changed the way we think about mental health. And this happened, if you read that article, A Brief History of Depression, you'll see the development of this. They had, in Europe, they had, Scandinavia, but it'll say in the article, but somewhere in Europe, they already had a serotonin reuptake inhibitor but they didn't put it on the market because there was no demand for a depression medication globally. until the discovery of LSD, and that was, of course, an accident. They found they were treating Parkinson's disease with this stuff, and their patients were getting this euphoric feeling, and so the hippies got a hold of it. And first thing you know, the drug companies are marketing it, and then we have this philosophy that you should never feel bad, you should never worry.
Right.
And before that, people just...
That's kind of the basis of the problem, too, mm-hmm. of the explosion of the so-called fear, anxiety, and depression, that nobody should have the blues ever.
Yeah.
Nobody should ever struggle.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And so, I don't tell people get off your pills, but I sure try to encourage them in ways of, you know, what you're trying to deal with is anxiety and depression. You're trying to deal with fear and shame. And there are really solid biblical ways to deal with fear and shame.
In a nutshell, why don't you give us a few of those? What are the biblical ways
So God has two divine institutions. God creates and God relates. And that's what he, in his creation and creating, he exhibits those. He's a creator and he's a relator. And he created us in his image, unfolded from his nature. We need to create and we need to relate. And the fear and shame is the result of not creating and not relating. We don't have relationships and we got too much time on our hands. Mm. Now, a lot of that is where the culture has gone. We have a lot of distractions out there that keep us from accomplishing meaningful goals.
A lot of leisure time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. By meaningful goals, I mean not just something that's meaningful to me. It has to also something – there can be things that are meaningful to me, you know, hobbies and things like that. But the real goal and the real strength in this is to be accomplishing things that are meaningful within the community. I don't know if you had this experience when you grew up. I did somewhat. But I sure would like, you know, whenever I see kids walking around with cell phones and playing little games on their cell phones, I want to say, why don't you do something useful? But they will say, well, this is useful. I'm learning to use my mind really quickly.
Right.
It needs to be useful in the greater context of a community. It needs to be serving other people. Mm. I say, you know, we should be pursuing achievements and relationships, but in balance. And so at some point, like with the nature of God, all of our achievements have something to do with our relationships. To enhance relationships, we serve others, and all of our relationships have something to do with that ultimate goal. We need to be doing that in balance. So fundamentally, basically, that's really the, you were saying, you know, feel so much better when you organize things or clean the room, or I'd say, you know, cut the lawn or get that three-way light switch fixed and get that house finished. Going to feel so good. Well, I'm not going to feel anxious and depressed because anxiety, depression is what happens when I don't take care of the business. I move from helplessness to hopelessness, and then you lose your motivation, and so you kind of got to kickstart that. It's really hard to get people who are depressed motivated because they get to that place of hopelessness. As a matter of fact, most counseling is anxiety, not depression. Even if people come with a diagnosis of depression, I say, well, if you weren't worried about it, you wouldn't be here. And the worry is anxiety, not depression. Depression is immobility. Mm-hmm. So the worry about, I think I've got depression. Well, that thinking you've got depression is anxiety. If it were just pure depression, you wouldn't bother to come in. Mm-hmm. You know, you just, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, circling back, a lot of information there, but circling back, it's as my dad used to say, life isn't easy, but it's simple. It is simple. Depression and anxiety aren't easy, but they're simple. It has to do with fear and shame. And the way out of fear and shame is to pursue. We must do something. I'm saying we can't. I have a great big long to-do list on my day, and I can't get it all done. But I say to myself, and I tell other people, say this to yourself, you can't do everything, but you must do something. Just doing something, pursuing something, and relationships, serving other people, pursuing, getting that to-do list done, taking care of business and pursuing relationships with other people. What can I do for other people, serving other people? We get locked into anxiety and depression, I think, sometimes because we become so egocentric and self-centered. Mm. I have to feel a certain way. Life has to be a certain way for me. The happiest people I know and are people who are serving other people. You say, well, if I serve other people all the time, what happens to me? Well, life has an interesting way of taking care of that. It'll sure take care of the anxiety and depression, though. But I think serving other people, that also is answered in the nature of God. And that's just something I don't think we have to worry about.
Lose yourself for my sake and you'll find your life. Jesus Amen. Said something exactly. along those lines. Bible-based counseling with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. If you're struggling with issues like this, depression, anxiety, marital issues, Daniel would love to help you. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, the phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. There are podcasts there, over 4 years, I think. And the offices are in Kirkland and Edmonds. And don't forget the articles at ChristianCounselorsForum.com.
Okay, always great stuff with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS, the Sound Mind broadcast.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.